Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. This is D2. Is there anyone else on the line this morning?
Good morning, D2. Top of the morning. Declare Victory. This is Sister Sabrina. Can you pray for healing over my body, please?
Yes, ma'am. I got you.
Thank you. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's Graceful Deborah Evans. Happy Thursday.
Hi. Good morning. Happy Thursday. Happy Thursday.
God bless.
God bless you too. Thank you so much. Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Is there anyone else who just joined the call who'd like to say good morning? Well, good morning. Happy Thursday. Welcome to Declare Victory. I am D2, your host. Is there anyone else who just joined who'd like to say good morning?
Morning, honey bun. Morning, Declare Victory. Happy Thursday. Oh, happy Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Happy Thursday. Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Is there anyone else on the line who'd like to say good morning?
Good morning. It's Shine Tashina.
Hi, Tashina. Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Happy Thursday.
I know, right? We made it.
Right. March is gone.
It's out of here.
It's about.
Out of here. We're done.
Yes.
Morning, Shane. I was thinking about you yesterday. Hi.
I've been on here. I just don't talk. I feel like I let all of
it's good, you know. And I missed class last night because I was working, but I was thinking about
I
you so my heart.
So
just know that the Lord loves you, and so do I.
Oh, I love you too. Thank you so much. That means a lot. It really does.
Beautiful. I love it. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Thursday. Welcome to Declare Victory. I'm D2. Is there anyone else who just joined the call who'd like to say good morning?
Good morning. This is Kevin.
Hi, Kevin. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Is there anyone else who just joined who'd like to say good morning before we get started? We still have a couple of minutes. If anybody wants to say good morning, now's your time. Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory and happy Thursday. Is there anyone else who just joined who'd like to say good morning? Not yet? Well, happy Thursday anyway, and welcome to Declare Victory. Is there anyone else who just joined who wants to say good morning? As I continue to look at the clock, because we will start at exactly 6:05, but we'd like to give everyone a chance to say good morning who just popped in. So happy Thursday. If you'd like to say good morning, please do. And since I have a minute left, I will give the website for our prayer request in case anyone doesn't have it. It is www.declarevictory.org. That is the best way to submit your prayer request so that the greeter can already have it in advance, which makes it a little easier for the prayer warrior. So I just wanted to share that bit of information since I had the extra time. But has anyone else just joined the call that would like to say good morning? You are welcome to do so.
Hey, T2, and let them know it's also the best place to listen to the playbacks, too.
Awesome. Best place for the playbacks. Again, that's www.declarevictory.org. Okay, well, it's time to get started with the call. Now, before we move forward, we ask you to please mute your line so that we can proceed. Hello, my name is Dion D2, and I am your host. Thank you for joining us here on Declare Victory. We are a prayer call that meets Monday through Friday, starting at 6 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 a.m. Central Standard Time, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, to edify, empower, encourage, and equip you in your walk with Christ. Stay tuned in with us for the last 2 days of March, where our monthly theme is entitled Suddenly. Each declarer will focus on the importance of expecting and how to properly respond to a suddenly move of God. Make sure you invite a friend so that they can be blessed too. There is one announcement today. Ladies, please join us tonight and every Thursday night for Walk It Out Women's Call, hosted by Ms. Lisa Porter. They are studying the book, The Bait of Satan, by John Bevere. The call takes place from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here by dialing this same number tonight. We didn't have any requests on the app. However, Sabrina does have a request. She's asking for healing over her body. The order of the call is prayer and corporate praise will be brought by Dee Dee. The declaration will be brought by Tanya. Then we'll go right into closing comments hosted by the declarer. Again, the order of the call is prayer and corporate praise will be brought by Dee Dee. The declaration will be brought by Tanya. Then we'll go right into closing comments hosted by the declarer. The scripture for today is Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. As always, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his holy word. Now at this time, we're going to ask you to please put your phones on mute. Please take a look at your phone right now. Ensure that it is on mute. And please keep it on mute until instructed to come off mute. Thank you so much. I now pass the call to our prayer warrior, Dee Dee.
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. It's Mandate Thursday, which is Holy Thursday. It's significant for us believers. It also commemorates the Last Supper. It's where Jesus started the tradition of our Holy Communion, where he symbolizes body and blood with bread and wine. It's also where Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. Thank you for this day, Lord. Good morning, Holy Spirit. We thank you for a new dawning, for your new grace and new mercy. Thank you for just a brand new canvas of this thing called life. Oh, Lord, you are worthy of praise. You are worthy of praise. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, you are worthy of praise. It's your name above all names. I just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you that you allowed us to see Thursday, March 28th, 2024. We can't take it for granted that we are here right now. It's not the clock alarms. It's not the barking dogs. It's your breath in our lungs that we are here to pour out a praise to you this morning and call out your sweet name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
just thank you for the gift of life. All I have is an attitude of gratitude this morning because somebody didn't wake up this morning. So we thank you, even with pain in our body, no matter what we are facing. Lord, we thank you this morning. Thank you for just eyes to see and ears to hear. Thank you that we're on a prayer call, that we can dial in and get word. Thank you. God, you gave us one mouth and two ears so that we could talk less and listen more. We blow it, God. We blow it daily. I thank you for creating us in your image. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We can't take that for granted. Oh, what a magnificent God we serve. You are good in all your ways. Such a good, good Father. I just give you glory. I give you praise this morning. There's none like you. You are God alone. God, I thank you. I keep my eyes on you. I keep my hope in you. I keep my trust in you, God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And so for every broken heart this morning, for every mind that may be confused, for every soul that is weary, God, just breathe on us. Thank you, God. Thank you that you're giving us strength to endure. Some of us may have woke up this morning and said, we don't feel good in our physical body. Jehovah Rapha. Hallelujah. Those may be waiting anxiously for a diagnosis or have to go back for a follow-up. Oh, God, you may be starting dialysis or chemotherapy, radiation, infusion, whatever it is. So many diagnoses, lupus, high blood pressure, dementia, cancer. But God is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. We got to believe. Somebody right now might be in the midst of just having to move or relocate or whatever it is. We know you to be Jehovah Jireh. You are our provider. So thank you for always providing, even when it doesn't look like it. You are Jehovah Jireh. I thank you for anybody right now that's filled with worry, fear, doubt. God will give you a hopeful cry when you're feeling hopeless. Give it to him. God, saturate everyone with your peace, Jehovah Shalom. Thank you, because life gets exhausting. I'll keep it 100. It gets hard, but we can't do it on our own. It's impossible without faith. Oh, God, you can activate mountains if we activate our faith. You can make mountains move. We just have to believe that you can do anything but fail. God, I say, you said in Mark, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. God, this morning, my heart is full. I'm praying for those that are affected by the bridge falling in Baltimore, the Francis Scott Key Bridge. There are lives lost. I heard the official say that he's not concerned about rebuilding the bridge. He's concerned about the lives that they have to get out that's unaccounted for. Oh, God, let's just continue to be humble in this season. I call out Minister Phil for you, and as they're preparing to lay his beautiful mother to rest, bless them. I read the obituary he has on Facebook, and it's a beautiful life that she lived. So I lift him up to you and his siblings. God, I continue to lift Dion up to you and call out Deontay and Josiah and Mama Jackie and Tia and Marcus, and just cover them, because grief changes the whole flow of the family. God, I call out Bubbly's children to you, Melanie and Raheem and all the grandchildren, every caregiver this morning, God, anyone who has to just, that's blessed to be assigned to an elderly parent or family member, those that may be caring for an ailing spouse or a child with needs, whatever it is. God, I ask you just to cover the unhoused this morning and those who are in translation, some that are running away, some that are taken by force against their will. God, I lift them up to you this morning. Sister Sabrina, who is asking for healing, let her know that you are her healer. You are Jehovah Rapha. Tap in and let her know that you got this, no matter what she is going through. God, I lift up Dion Didi D2 to you this morning for just blessing and filling her back up. And my sister Tanya, not Tanya, who's going to bless us with a word this morning. God, you are so worthy of praise. I thank you this morning just for an opportunity to say thank you, Jesus. So before you take your phones off of mute and join me in collective praise, position your heart to be just filled with love and peace, and nothing that you're holding, if anything that you've done, ask God to forgive you before you say thank you. Take your phones off mute, guys, and join me for prayer and praise and worship and just give him what he's due. He's due the praise.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Give him the praise, God.
Just say thank you, because he woke you up this morning. You didn't do it on your own. No matter what
you
do,
God woke you up
this morning. Say thank you, Jesus. Have an attitude of gratitude. Even if you don't feel good, thank you for being able to feel pain. God, we just
thank you for loving us.
You are amazing, God. There's nothing too hard for you, God. There's nothing too hard for you, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
You are amazing.
Never before.
As we put our phones back on you, continue to praise the Lord. God, we thank you for this day. Thank you, God, for the late and the midnight hours, those suddenlies, when it doesn't look like things are going to work out. Don't you always turn it around? Thank you for keeping your promises, God. Thank you for never leaving us nor forsaking us. Thank you for just being the same God. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Thank you that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Even those weapons we sometimes form against ourselves, they just won't work, because you are an amazing God and your grace is amazing. So I thank you this morning just for another day to say thank you, Jesus. It's in your precious name that I give it all to you. As I pass the call to Tanya, Tanya's in your hands.
Good morning, and Dee Dee, before you go, I just want to make sure that my my volume is okay, that you guys can hear me okay, and that there's no...
Yes, sister. Yes, sister almighty. You sound great.
Okay, mighty prayer warrior, Mother Reverend of the Most High. Thank you for that wonderful prayer. Dee Dee, too, thank you so much. Your voice is so soothing. Yeah, it's so soothing. Anyway, I'm excited to share. I have a little bit of bad news for you. Well, it might not be bad news, but this is the last time that you guys will hear me speak ever again in March and give a declaration, because it's the last Thursday of the month. You guys, where is the time going? But before I continue, I want to say happy birthday to my baby sister, Tashina. Tashina. People have always messed up her name because my mama just gave us all these odd names. We might need a little therapy. It's okay, though. We have a therapist in the house that can help us with our whole naming convention, but I absolutely want to lift my sister up today and wish her a happy birthday. I don't know if she's on the call. I know she's busy working, but I wanted to give that shout out to her. I won't tell you how old she is. I'll leave that as a mystery, but it's such a blessing to be able to wish my sister
call this morning. Good morning.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Tina. Happy birthday to you. And many more.
Thank you. I love you. I love you more. I'll see you in a few hours.
Anyway, the reason that I'm so excited is because there was a time when I wasn't so happy about her birthday. And she knows that. And some of you guys have heard my story. But I want you to know, if there is anybody on the call that is having issues with a loved one, with a sibling, God has a way of repairing relationships without our help. Now, we might need to do a little something, but once we do our part in the natural, whether it is asking for forgiveness or whether it is positioning yourself so that they can ask you to forgive them, whatever the case may be, the rest of it is up to him. So I'm thankful that for what God has done for us. So it is time for me to share, and I'm excited and prepared to do so. I want to ask you to, or remind you to please ensure that your phones are muted so that we can protect the integrity of the call. We want to make sure that today, you know, our call is very critical. We never know who's on the call, where they are in life, and how this forum may be able to help them. And if we, you know, have our phones off mute or what have you, or moving around and getting ready for work because all of us are busy, they may miss a key component. And that's the way that I look at it. Even when I'm just laying in the bed listening to the call, I will check the phone periodically because their phones are smart. They, you know, you barely touch them and they come off mute. So again, if you would just double, triple, quadruple check your phone, and while you are moving around, if you'd also do that. So I was looking at something, looking at my notes, and I realized, okay, all right, I am in the right place. I thought I had the wrong information up. So anyway, I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony with you, but I'm also going to give you the declaration. And give you what God has given me. First, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life. Truly, I thank and praise God for being here today. After being here, finding me yet saved, sanctified, and filled with the mighty burning fire of the Holy Ghost. Thank him that today he is a keeper and a mind regulator. I ask that you would pray for me as I go stronger in the Lord. As I give my testimony today, I want to go back several years. Many, many years, several decades, actually. Let's say 6 decades and a little bit of change. My motive to accept Christ as Lord and Savior at 8 years old was because his love overshadowed me, and I really wanted to. I heard the preachers, primarily my father, who was my first and only pastor, and several other teachers, like my Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, what have you, within our church talk about Jesus and how wonderful he is, etc. I also heard them talk about the cruel death, that is, the capital punishment that he endured to, quote, save us, end quote. I decided, listen to me, I made an active decision by weighing the information I heard about God and Jesus Christ during Sunday school and church services. For example, God loved the whole world, but also he loved me as an individual, St. John 3:16. And Jesus was our hope, our only hope. So he died for everyone, including me. He, Jesus, gave me the gift of salvation, and I love receiving gifts, so why should I reject the gift he gave me? I hear you, but you were a child. You were just a child. What sins did you commit that required forgiveness? Did you understand sin? Were you entirely able to comprehend salvation? Those are great questions. Here are the answers. We are all born into sin because of Adam, the first man created by God. We inherited Adam's sinful nature. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being, Genesis 2:7. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people because all sinned, Romans 5:12. No, I did not understand sin or its impact. However, I understood that Jesus was willing to pay for my our sins by dying for us. In my eight-year-old mind, I knew that if I did wrong, I would get in trouble. In my eight-year-old mind, it seemed very important to me that I accept Jesus Christ. What I knew about salvation is that if I asked God to forgive me, and I believed he would, I believed he would do so, that I would be saved from my sins. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, according to Romans 10 and 9. Somehow I was convinced at 8 years old that if I asked my Heavenly Father, God, to save me, he would do it. Perhaps my confidence came from the experiences I had asking my biological father for things, and he did them, at least most of the time. I don't recall if the conversation with myself occurred over time or was in one setting, but I do know that one day while at church, I suddenly decided to pray and asked God to save me during an altar call, and he did. What happened next still kind of trips me out, because once I confessed and believed, my heart was suddenly changed. It was filled with love and joy. I mean, it was instantaneous. I know our feelings did not save us, but I was blessed to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in that moment. It was like he confirmed my decision for me. I remember as clear as day, like something major changed. At eight, I really felt a change. And I know I said it already, but I want to emphasize it again. I really felt the love and the power of God at eight years old. I knew it. I knew that I had been changed. And no, I hadn't done a whole lot, but it doesn't matter. Even if you are a person that, quote unquote, lives a really good life, you've never done any, you pay your taxes on time, you've never taken anything from work that you shouldn't, you've never, every single amount that you owe in credit, you've paid it, you pay everything on time, you're always on time, you've never lied, you've never stolen, you've done all these wonderful things, you give to people, make sure that you, if you could, you would house every unhoused person you could. You have all these wonderful things that you've done. But if, after having done all that, you fail to accept Christ, you are still a sinner. And that's the thing. We don't have to do a whole lot of things to be defined as a sinner. We are born. Diddy just had a granddaughter. That baby was as beautiful and as gentle and as wonderful as that birth is. According to the scripture, that baby was born in sin. Now, would she go to hell? Absolutely. I don't believe, God forbid, anything happened to the baby, but I do not believe that baby would go to hell if she died, because she does not know the difference between right and wrong. She don't even know who her mama is yet. So there's an, and I don't want to get too far into this, but there is an age of accountability where we ultimately understand the difference between right or wrong, and we can be held accountable for our actions at that point. Now we can be held accountable for knowing the difference between right and wrong. At eight, I still didn't fully understand it, but I knew I wanted this Jesus that the adults talked about. Okay, so let me get back on track. Another important thing I remember as a child was hearing the adults talk about the Holy Ghost, how he was a keeper, a mind regulator, a helper, etc. I didn't know what I needed to be kept from, and my mind seemed okay for an eight-year-old. But if he could help me in school and stuff, help me with my homework and all of that kind of stuff, that would be cool. That was my eight-year-old thinking. I remember my dad saying that anyone that accepted Christ as Savior is a candidate to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit or the baptism in the Holy Ghost. They're both the same. However, one must meet the condition to receive him being the Holy Ghost. I decided I wanted the Holy Ghost too. I followed the instructions of the adults as best I could. For example, the belief that he would feel me if I asked him. You mean all I got to do is ask him? Yeah, all you got to do is ask him. But the back in the day, when I was 8 years old, I'm 63 right now, June 29th of 2024, I will be 64 years old. So way back in the day, over 50 years ago, let me tell you what tarrying service was in the Pentecostal churches. Most of the time, it would be on a Friday night because most people didn't have to go to work the next day. And someone would give instruction. It might have been my dad. It might have been somebody else. But they would give instruction, biblical scriptures about the Holy Ghost. And they would talk about him as a person of the Trinity. They would talk about the importance of having the Holy Ghost. They would give examples of what their experience was like, so on and so forth. So it was designed to build the faith in the quote unquote candidate. Candidate for what? Candidate for receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so some of y'all might have flashbacks on the call. We would go to the altar, and I remember this particular night. I believe it was a Friday night. We were in revival. If you don't know what revival is, remind me to tell you what revival is during Love, Life, and Victory. But I went to the altar, and you know that there would be someone that would pray with you. Kind of think of it as a coach. And most of the prayer was, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Just be glad for him. Keep saying, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. You know, you say thank you, Jesus, 576 million times. I'm just kidding. But you say thank you, Jesus. In other words, they were trying to get you to be motivated and happy about receiving this anticipated gift of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And different people had different experiences. Today is different. There's a different method today, but that is the method that they used then. And I remember, I don't know who it was that was praying for me, but I remember Mother Bates. I remember Mother Chilton was there. I believe Mother Coleman was there and several other saints. I don't think my mom was there that night, because if I was eight, that means that, well, anyway, it doesn't matter. I don't know. I don't remember her being here. I don't remember her face, but I remember my dad and Mother, like I said, Mother Bates. And these names don't mean anything to you, but they mean something to me. These are the old mothers in Zion. A couple of them are still living today. But at any rate, that was the process. That was what we called tarrying service on a Friday night. So anyway, it was a Friday night during the revival at what we called the upper room. And here's a Tanya, not Tanya nugget. Excuse me. Our church was a medium-sized storefront at the time, but it was on the second floor of a building in Bayview Hunters Point, above what everyone called in the neighborhood. Everybody called it the record shop. And at the record shop, they sold candy and chips and soda and burgers. You couldn't go there to get no Tylenol or aspirin or anything like that. They just sold snacks. Next door to that was a greasy spoon fish fry called Sam Jordan's. Today it is called Two Jacks. Anyway, I remember praying at the altar and asking God for the Holy Ghost. I don't know how long I had prayed with others, but I remember feeling so desperate. I felt like I needed him to survive, and I expressed that feeling with all of the sincerity that I had. And all of a sudden, with tears streaming down my face, I began to speak in a language I had never heard. It did not scare me or make me act strange. I was fully aware of my senses and so full of joy that all I could do was cry and speak to God in my kingdom language. It wasn't magical. It was miraculous. I was fully lucid and aware of everything that was going on around me. Initially, I started off with my eyes closed because I was just trying to concentrate. But I remember opening my eyes, and I sensed the excitement of the older adults. I assumed that I was speaking in tongues, but based on their excitement, I said, this must be it. This must be what's happening to me. Everybody was excited, including my dad. Like I said, I don't think my mom was there that night, but I spoke fluently in a very unique dialect in a very unique language for a while. Like it was a minute. I know it wasn't more than an hour, but like it wasn't like a blurb. It was a whole conversation that I was having with God, and I know I was having this conversation with God as the Holy Spirit mediated for me. I could sense my dad's pride and happiness for his baby girl. I recall that he put the mic to my mouth so the congregation could hear me speak fluently in my kingdom language. Here's another Tanya Not Tanya moment. Whenever someone received their kingdom language, there was always a huge celebration in that very moment to acknowledge what had happened to that and allow the person to share their experience. Ultimately, my dad or whoever was leading the service would ask the person if they knew what happened to them. The answers varied, but as long as the person said something to the effect of, you know, they spoke some words that they didn't know, or they felt like something took control of their tongue, et cetera, the service conductor was satisfied that the person understood what had happened to them, because in our culture, we felt that it was important that the person know what happened as opposed to telling them what happened to them. Anyway, back to my experience. I have no idea, again, how long I spoke kingdom to God, but I know it was a beautiful conversation, and I will never forget it. After what seemed like a long, long time waiting for the Holy Spirit to fill me, he suddenly did it on a Friday night, and my life has never been the same. This is a great place to segue into my declaration. My foundational text is Acts 2, 1 through 4, and I'm going to be reading that text from the NIV. And I want you to listen for one key word, okay? Don't take your phones off mute. Here we go. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I read Acts 2, 1 through 4 from the NIV version. So I want to break down the scripture, this set of scriptures, if you'll allow me to, just so that we can unpack them just a little bit more. The day of Pentecost is also known as the Festival of Weeks in the Jewish culture. The Festival of Weeks was something that was part of their tradition. And it also, the word Pentecost signals the beginning of the New Testament age. So if you recall, there is the Old Testament. We have Genesis and Exodus and Deuteronomy, and we have Leviticus and so on and so forth. We have the books of the prophets, and we have the Psalms and Ecclesiastes and the book of 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, which chronicled the life of the kings. And so it's full of history and law, right? That's the Old Testament. And then we have the New Testament, which is and discusses the time period or represents the time period of grace, because the Old Testament was the dispensation or the era of the law, E-R-A, era of the law, where the people lived under the law, the rule of the law. But today, and once Pentecost came, we now live under the dispensation of grace. We're not required to give animal sacrifices anymore because Jesus came. And how befitting, thank you, Holy Spirit, how befitting it is to give this word just before Good Friday, because Resurrection Sunday is this coming Sunday, March 31st. How befitting it is to be able to share a little bit of this. Please mute your phone. The Holy Spirit, I was talking about the New Testament age. and how relevant it is for us because we live in the dispensation of grace. So we're no longer under the law. All of the laws that the Hebrews or the Jews had in order for them to live a lifestyle based upon the laws that were given to them, now we live under grace, which is a beautiful thing. The Pentecost signals the beginning of the New Testament. Pentecost parallels the Last Supper in that all of the disciples were together during the Last Supper. All 12 of them were together. Pentecost parallels the Last Supper in that all of the disciples were together when they were all filled with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So it wasn't just the 12. So you know that there was more than 12 disciples. There were the 12 that we know of, Peter and John and those gentlemen. But there were also other disciples, followers of Christ, that were there as well. That is what a disciple is. So let me move on. The Last Supper signifies the end of Christ's ministry on earth. At Pentecost, the disciples witnessed the birth of the New Testament church in the coming of the Holy Spirit to dwell in believers versus coming upon them. So if you read in the Old Testament, you might read, for example, one particular character that comes to mind is Samson. The scripture would talk about, and the Holy Ghost came upon him, and he was able to do X, Y, Z. So the Holy Spirit did not reside in people as he does today. He came upon people and equipped them. He empowered them to be able to do whatever particular thing that that he moved upon them to do. But the scripture talks about in the text that I just read, Acts 2, 1 through 4, it talks about the Holy Spirit coming as a rushing mighty wind. This phenomenon is familiar throughout the Old and the New Testament. For example, Exodus 10 and 13 says, "So Moses stretched out his staff over Egypt, and the Lord made an east wind blow across the land all that day and all that night." And so this is representative of the Holy Spirit. It's also representative of the wind or breath. Also, John 3 and 8, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." And that Spirit that the scripture is referring to is the Holy Spirit. Wind can also be associated with breath. According to Genesis 2 and 7, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." I won't add to the scripture, but in my sanctified imagination, I would like to say all of a sudden man became a living being. Fire is also associated with that group of scriptures, but fire is often associated in the Old Testament with the presence of God. Exodus 3:2 says, "The angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "The angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up." So fire is also representative of the presence of God. Also, Hebrews 12 and 29. "For our God is a consuming fire." God's presence and holiness are implied in the Pentecostal tongues of fire. However, fire is identified with Christ himself. Revelations 1 and 14 says, "The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire." All the spirit baptism of the disciples suddenly and simultaneously is phenomenal. Several other miracles took place that day. Number one, the disciples spoke in languages they did not know, similar to me and anybody that is on this call that has been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You spoke in a language that you did not know. In other words, you did not learn it. It is not a language that you are familiar with. Like you may know that you may have heard people speaking in Japanese or Spanish or I don't know, whatever, Swedish or Swahili or whatever. You may know that that is a language, but you yourself don't know how to speak that language. And so as it was in the case of the disciples, if you go back and you read Acts on your own, all of a sudden you have the Holy Spirit fall the way that he did. And the writer who captured this, the scribe who captured the experience, you know, I just wondered, did he or she receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit too, or were they just busy writing? I don't know. Anyway, I just had that thought. But the miracle was that these disciples were speaking in languages that the hearers, see, they were at the Festival of Weeks, and how, listen, how strategic God is, the Day of Pentecost. The Day of Pentecost, also the Festival of Weeks, happened while you had all these people coming from all over the nation who spoke all these different languages, but they were coming for this particular festival. And and they came, they didn't realize it, but they were coming to experience something that was going to be life-altering and life-changing for all of them. Now, this is coming straight from a download that the Holy Spirit is giving. So you have all these people coming, and what does the Holy Spirit do? He shows out that day. Where he comes, I don't know if everybody, people knew that something was going on in this upper room because they started to gather around. Listen, my God, God called his own altar call. The people started to gather around, and so as they gathered around, they began to hear these people in this upper room speaking these languages. And it wasn't confusion either. They all began to speak. In my sanctified imagination, I like to believe that there was a message specifically that God gave each one of the folks that was speaking. Now, maybe like four or five were speaking, Italian. Maybe another 10 were speaking Swahili and another 7 were speaking whatever. I don't know how it worked out, but what it turns out is that the men and women that were there literally heard these people speaking their language, and it had to trip them out. It would have tripped me out if I was in a foreign country and all of a sudden I heard, and I know that people don't speak English. That's not the native tongue there. And I heard them speaking English, and somebody that was with me next door, next to me might have said, hey, they speak in Spanish. That's my language. Hey, they speak in, Greek. That's my language. That's what was happening in that one location. All right. So the next thing that happened is that after they got filled with the Holy Spirit, they calmed down. I'm imagining they began to praise God for receiving, because they were instructed by Jesus. How did they get there in the first place? In Acts 1 and 8, as Jesus was getting ready to ascend, he told them to go and wait. Go and wait for the comforter, because I'm sending him. He didn't tell them that they could expect to experience. He didn't tell them that they were going to see. He told them nothing. What he told them, he instructed them to go and wait. In other words, go and tarry. That's what the word tarry means. It means to wait. Just go and wait, and he's going to meet you there. Now, they don't know what this means, but out of obedience. And I'm going to say that to you. If there's anybody on the call that's listening to me today that has not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want you to understand it is a free, he is a free gift. He is here right now, ready to give you the power that you need in order to be able to do the work and fulfill the assignment that he's called you for. I can feel his presence here. But at any rate, let me go on to explain. So Peter comes down off of his glory cloud. Something prompts him to go outside, and he sees all the, I'm not making this up, this is true scripture, he sees all these people outside, and they are astonished. They don't know if they drunk, they don't know if, but somebody says, surely these men cannot be drunk with wine and be able to speak in these native languages the way that we're speaking. This is nothing but the power of God. And so what happens is, another miraculous thing happened And in that, Peter comes out, and you got to remember that you don't remember maybe, but they're in hiding because Jesus had been crucified. And several weeks later, you know, they were still in hiding. They up in the upper room. They don't want nobody to know where they were, right? They are in their hideout because Jesus had told them to go back to Jerusalem. They left, go back, and wait for the Comforter. You got to remember, they scared. They don't know if they're going to be crucified. They don't know. They haven't heard the story that we read, that we get to read over and over and over again. There is no Bible because these events have not yet happened. We get the advantage of reading them. We get the advantage of knowing what the end is, but they have no clue what is going to happen. So even though they were nervous as human beings, not knowing what happened, they still made a decision. The Holy Spirit, what happened, empowered them with boldness to be able to go outside and see all these people that are around. Now they've got this power. They're not scared anymore. They've got this power within them. And they feel, Peter feels an overwhelming desire. And if you remember from the scriptures, the Bible says, Jesus said, upon this rock, meaning Peter, because that's what his name meant, I will build my church. And he got a chance to minister to that day. And the Bible says that over 3,000 souls were saved that day based upon the message that was preached. And it was Jews and Gentiles alike, I would like to believe, that were there and they heard the message. They heard that Christ is Messiah and Savior. And over 3,000 souls got saved that day. So let me give you a little bit more. I got a little bit more time here. Let me share a little bit more about the Holy Spirit, his relevance to us today, and how important it is. First of all, who is the Holy Spirit? He is a part of the triune God, according to 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word being Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Ah, can you imagine that? What do I mean by that? They are not three separate personalities. They are one. So think of an egg. If I go to Trader Joe's and get me some organic brown eggs, they're going to be in one carton. But that egg has three components: the outer shell, the inside yolk, and the inside white. But it is one egg when we get it. That egg can take on many forms. If I boil it, it'll be a hard-boiled egg. It's still going to have the shell, the white, and the yolk, which is going to be in the center. It's still going to be that way, and it's going to stay that way until I break the shell or do whatever I'm going to do to make my potato salad or tuna or whatever it is I'm going to make, right? One egg, that's the concept. The same power, according to Romans 8:9-11, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. I'll say it again. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you once you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm still reading the scripture. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to you, to your mortal bodies, by the same Spirit living within you. That Spirit meaning the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not limited to tongue talking or emotionalism. Yes, you can become emotional after you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And yes, you can speak in an unknown language. That is the evidence that you have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You don't catch the Holy Spirit like you would catch a football or a baseball or something, somebody throwing you your keys. We don't catch him. That would indicate a random experience. He lives in us. We are never alone. There are many names for the Holy Spirit. You remember I started off saying Holy Ghost, but he's one and the same. He's also known as the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, the Helper, the Holy Ghost, because he plays so many different roles in our lives. There's another reading that says that he's the author of Scripture, that he's a counselor and advocate, that he's a convictor of sin, that he he's the deposit and the seal, that he is our guide, that he is an indweller of the believers, he is an intercessor, and as I said earlier, a revealer and the spirit of truth, the spirit of God. He is the spirit of life, and he is teacher, and he is witness. He is witness. Acts 1 and 8 says, and ye shall receive power that comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, and in all the uttermost parts of the earth. So we're not just filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit so he can be all these wonderful things to us, but most importantly, so we can be effective witnesses. And as effective witnesses, the Holy Spirit will reveal things to us. For example, he may move upon you to go and share a word, a kind word, or the gospel with someone. You may not even know them, but the Holy Spirit will give you exactly what to say to that person. Not too much, not too little, exactly what to say to this person, which will allow their heart to be convicted, not condemned, convicted, so that they will feel and understand how important it is for them to accept Christ as their personal Savior. Let me give you a couple of benefits of having the Holy Spirit. He reveals Jesus to us according to John 15 and 26. I know I'm giving you a lot of scriptures. If you don't get them all, ask me and I'll give them to you during Love, Life, and Victory. John 15, 26 says, the Helper will come, the Spirit, who reveals the truth about God and who comes from the Father. I will send him to you from the Father, and he will speak about me. I need you to hear me and hear me closely. God cannot be explained. Somebody said he can only be experienced. I'll take it a little bit further. He is revealed through the Holy Ghost. That's why you have so much confusion today about who God is, you know, who the Holy Spirit is, what name we should call him. You should only call him this name. What color was he? You know, what day was he born on? What day did he die on? What difference does it make? What matters is that we know that if we believe and repent, he will save us. What matters, most importantly, is if we ask for the Holy Spirit, even as I'm speaking to you now, and we believe that he will fill us, he will do it. That's what's important. And the reason we want to be filled is because he will empower us to be effective witnesses. It's like having a Tesla, a Ferrari. Let's say a Ferrari. You got a Ferrari. We both get Ferraris, and they are fire red. The Ferrari that I get, it's just basic, you know, it can go. But the Ferrari you get because you studied and made a decision you wanted more is fully loaded. I mean, it could go from 0 to 250 miles per hour in, you know, 3.5 seconds. I don't know, I'm just making up a number, but I know the car is really fast, and I know that it is a very popular car amongst people of wealth and people who want to live a certain lifestyle and give the appearance that they live a lifestyle. What's the difference? They're both the same, but one has power, the other doesn't. The other one can go. Mine could go. You know, it just can't do all the things that yours can. So I'm cool with mine. You know, I'm cool. I'm satisfied. I'm content with mine. I don't, you know, I'm just cool. You want all the bells and the whistles. So you go for the gusto. I hope that explanation makes sense. A couple of more things. Why should we desire the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost? Because of hidden treasures. According to 1 Corinthians 2 and 10, it says, but it was to us that God made known his secrets by means of his Spirit. The Spirit searches everything, even the hidden depths of God's purposes. So he reveals things hidden from non-believers. We got a one-up on non-believers. I wasn't going to say this, but another reason we should desire the Holy Ghost is because when we pray in our kingdom language, The enemy does not know what we're talking about. We speak in a complete, it's like me. I don't know Spanish, and I'm around all Vietnamese. I go to the nail shop to get my nails done. And the nail techs are talking, and they speaking about whatever it is they speaking about. I have no clue. I can have a feeling of what I think. And sometimes I said to my nail tech, I know y'all said da-da-da. Oh, no, we didn't say that. We said da-da-da-da-da-da, right? But when I pray, I can pray in tongues. And we're encouraged to do so. And the devil will never know what I'm saying to God. That, to me, is worth having that experience. I did have it here. I went ahead of myself. I called it in my notes, private conversation. The secret code is what I call it. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, but if your gift is that of being able to speak in tongues, that is to speak to in languages you haven't learned, you will be talking to God but not to others, since they won't be able to understand. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will be a secret. Understanding, according to Job 32:8-9, it says, and this is in the Living Bible, but it is not mere age that makes men wise. Rather, it is the Spirit in man, that the breath of the Almighty that makes him intelligent. Power, according to Acts 1:5-8, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be filled with power, and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. I'm almost done. Proof. How does one know they have received something they desired? There's some type of proof. The check is good. For example, the check is good when cashed. That's how you know you got proof you got paid. A pregnant woman knows she's pregnant when she actually feels the baby, not just based upon a test that she took. According to Acts 2:4, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in languages they did not know, for the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a very simple concept. I know sometimes people overcomplicate it. You cannot be taught to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Somebody's offering to teach you how to speak. Run from that. That's not how this goes. According to Luke, here is the ask. Luke 11:11-13, it says, and this is also from the Living Bible, you men who are fathers, if your boy asks for bread, do you give him a stone? If he asks for fish, do you give him a snake? If he asks for an egg, do you give him a scorpion? Of course not. And if even sinful persons like yourselves give children what they need, don't you realize that your heavenly Father will do at least as much and give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for him? If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer, according to Matthew 21:22. Again, we cannot be taught to speak in a heavenly language by another person, like they would teach someone to speak German, Russian, or Swahili. That is contrary to the Holy Scriptures. However, we can be taught about the function of the Holy Ghost and how to position ourselves to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as I've talked about in Acts 2:4. The Holy Ghost will literally teach you a new language. You can trust him. He will not hurt you. He loves you too much. Non-believers will not understand this. They may even criticize speaking in tongues and or poke fun at believers who do. That is out of ignorance, because if they knew the benefits as we do, they would not do that, and they would want what we have. Receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a free gift, just as salvation. However, one must want to be filled, desperate for him to fill you as desperate as you want to breathe, desperate like I was as that eight-year-old little girl who just knew she wanted to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's 7:04. I feel led to end the declaration. But before we go into love, life, and victory, I also feel led to ask if there is anyone on the call that wants to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This does not take a long time. I'm going to give you some instruction, pray a simple prayer with you, and that will be it. And so there's no pressure on anybody, but if there is one on the call, I feel led. We don't do this often, but I feel led to ask Rochelle. And I think, Rochelle, I don't want everybody to come up. I'm sorry. I don't want everybody to come off mute. I think if you press stars, Rochelle, you might have to help me. If they press star, what is it? They can unmute themselves? Or does somebody else know? Okay, Rochelle, you could just go ahead and take everybody off mute.
Twice.
Okay, you press star 6 twice. This is no pressure. If you are someone, if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, go ahead and identify yourself so that I can pray with you. Again, no pressure. And I hope that you will go back and listen to the playback. You can do that privately. You don't need anybody to help you. You can pray to the Holy Spirit. He's powerful enough that he don't need me. You can pray and ask the Father to fill you according to the scriptures that I gave. If you go back and listen to the playback or during the call, if you want me to call out some of the scriptures, I know I gave a whole lot today. I didn't really mean to do that, but so be it. I'm sorry, but not sorry. You can absolutely do that. And I believe all of a sudden you'll receive baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's my share. We're going to transition. Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
Yes, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin. Kevin, are you saying that you want to that you do?
Yes.
Awesome, Kevin. Awesome. Is there anybody else before I move on besides Kevin? Okay. All right. Kevin, I'm excited for you. I'm really, really excited for you. So we're going to pray a prayer. And I don't want you to feel intimidated at all. Receiving the Holy Spirit is a great and wonderful thing, as long as there is a desire there. And according, I'm going to go back to Luke, the scripture that I just read, as a way of encouraging your faith. Luke, the 11th chapter, verses 11 through 13. You men who are fathers, and I know you can identify with this, Kevin, because you have sons. If your boy was to ask you for bread, would you give him a stone? If he was to ask you for a fish, would you give him a snake? If he asked for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? Of course you would not. And if even sinful persons like ourselves give children what they need, don't you realize that your heavenly Father will do at least as much and give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for him? So I'm going to explain it to you just a little bit more. I don't want you to precondition your mind about what's going to happen. I don't want you to feel any fear at all, because there's nothing to fear. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So if fear comes to you at all, just know that that's the enemy. He doesn't want you to have this great power that he has, because he doesn't want you to be able to be an effective witness, and he doesn't want you to be able to speak in code to God when you speak in your language to him. This is a gift. This day was designed specifically for you, and the Holy Spirit is here to meet the request that you have, which is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So what will happen is that we're going to pray, right? And when we pray,
yes,
I'm just going to instruct you to begin to speak whatever it is that you hear, right? Because it's a language. It's a language with vowels and actual words. It's not that. It's an actual language that you will be able to speak. But don't feel any fear, and don't hold back as soon as you feel it. You may feel something in your throat, or you may feel something in your tongue. You may feel something even start to move in your belly, right, or in your chest. It doesn't matter. But once you start to feel it rise up, because the Bible says it's like fire shut up in my bones, like shut up in the very pit of my stomach as well.
And so, but once you feel, don't hold back, don't be afraid. It might sound weird to you. It's okay, because it's a language you've never spoken before. But anticipate it, right? And expect it, okay? So, Father, out of obedience, Kevin has said that he wants to receive the baptism of the Holy baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I believe that your presence is here now. And I believe that just as much as he wants to receive you, that you want to give him the gift of speaking in a language that he does not know. And I thank you, Lord God, for the faith that he has. I thank you for the courage and the boldness that he has to say, I do, Kevin. He stated his name. And so, Lord, we ask that you would honor his request and you would honor the things that were shared on this morning and that you would baptize him just as you did me as an 8-year-old girl, as an eight-year-old girl. And we thank you for it in advance. We thank you in advance for filling him with the Holy Spirit. We thank you in advance for equipping him with the Holy Spirit. Kevin, I just want you to tell God thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for filling me, Lord.
Thank you for filling me, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, thank Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Kevin,
Jesus.
Whatever you hear, I want you to begin to speak it. Whatever you hear, thank you, Lord. As I be,
thank
I'll
you,
be praying. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for filling him, Lord. It's okay to cry. It's okay. That's the spirit
thank you,
of God. Hallelujah. Thank you for filling him,
thank
Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. Thank you for filling him, Jesus. Thank you for helping him to believe you. Thank you for helping him to trust you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. 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 Thank you for filling him, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that he's an effective witness. Hallelujah. God, we bless you. God, we glorify your name. God, we thank you this morning. Hallelujah. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We bless you,
Lord.
We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you that you honor his request, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to your great name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, glory to you, Heavenly Father. Lord, I surrender to you, Heavenly Father. Lord, please, Father. I come to you wholeheartedly, Father God. Please, Heavenly Father. I surrender to you. I surrender. I surrender.
Father God, I surrender to you, Lord.
Yes,
Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Yes,
thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, my Father God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, please take control of my life. Is yours, God. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, oh God.
Thank you, Lord God. So, Father, we bless you and we praise you. We glorify your name. We thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for Kevin's yes. We thank you for his surrender. We thank you that you continue to encourage him even throughout the remainder of the call, the remainder of the day. He's heard the instruction, and I know that you're going to fill him. I believe it, and I trust you for it, and I thank you that he trusts you as well. In the mighty name of Jesus, we bless you and we praise you. Thank you, Lord God. Amen, amen. Kevin, I want you to be encouraged and know that the Holy Spirit is nigh to you. He's near, right? The Holy Spirit is going to baptize you. I believe it with all my heart. Don't be despondent or don't be sad and don't feel like, you know, sometimes we need a little bit more encouragement, and I'm going to get with you to give you some more instruction so that you can fully understand, because I know our time is short, but it doesn't take God a long time to do anything, right? We have time today, and I was happy to take the time out for you and anybody else that was on the call. Just happy to do it. It's not the first time we've done it, and it won't be the last, okay?
Yes.
All right, y'all. We're going to transition allow you to be able to actually, if you want to speak and make comments, we're going to do it all at the same time. We'll open it up at least so that the men can speak and make their comments, but rather than separating it like we normally do, we're just going to do it all at once. Are there any men that would like to speak or make any comments pertaining to the declaration? All right, going once and twice. All right, it's a free-for-all. Anybody that wants to make comments or speak, now is the time to do it.
Bless the name of the Lord. This is Jubilant Juliet. That was a powerful message, Daniel. I love the breakdown of the Holy Spirit and how, you know, important he is.
Amen. You too. Thank you.
Hey, Tan and Shiel. Great share this morning. I just, hallelujah. I thank God for Kevin this morning. I thank him for it. What a better time. My seed to say yes. Hallelujah. During this holy week, some of us really don't understand. But hallelujah, Kevin. Thank you for your yes. Holy, holy, holy. God bless you. God bless you. We will be calling you out, lifting you up, and calling on your strength, his strength in you. God bless you. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you,
Father. Thank you. Good morning. It's Sunshine.
Hey, Sunshine. Good morning. Good morning. Anyone
hey, Tan. Yes, hey. Sister Didi. Awesome. Kevin got me over here. Oh, Jesus. Thank God. Thank my Lord. Thank oh, you. My God.
Thank you.
Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name. Tan, thank you for, like everyone's saying, breaking down Holy Spirit. But sis, can you elaborate a little bit more? When you talked about our language and how it's to know, so it's to God, the majority of it, to let God, we are communicating to God so that the enemy can't decipher what we're saying, right? And for me, I remember when I took spiritual warfare, sometimes people get confused. And so my pastor has to remind people sometimes, because you get a flow going. And I can imagine at 8 years old, how you were raised. I was raised in a Methodist church. So I didn't understand any of it until I got older and joined, you know, different church, and they prayed a little different and everything, and had hands laid on my stomach and Jesus, and you got to bring it from your belly to get up my own understanding. So taking classes, sometimes there has to be a balance though, because you can't speak in your heavenly language 24/7. And so I think sometimes people get confused. Does that make sense what I'm saying? So it's like when you're speaking, because it's even like publicly, you don't go to church and a sermon is 30 minutes of a pastor speaking in holy language. Nobody will get edified that way. So you have to know, I think, if that makes sense. So I just don't want anybody thinking that. You could, because even at work, like I'm with the kids, they might think I'm doing Bluey. You know what I'm saying? So I have to be mindful. So I'm grateful for this lesson. That's all I'm saying, sis. And my God, Kevin, if I could just
I can't wait. I'm about to take a victory lap right now.
My God!
Yes. I think, Diddy, I'm going to answer your question, but y'all remember when I was reading or whatever, I was talking, and and I got overwhelmed all of a sudden. I felt the Holy Spirit then. I know today. I believe today is Kevin's day. Anyway, to your question, let me read the scripture again. I read 1 Corinthians 14:2. But if your gift is that of being able to speak in tongues, that is, to speak in languages you haven't learned, you will be talking to God but not to others, since they won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will be a secret. So, a couple of things here. When you're in your home, you can speak as often as you want, but there is balance, as Dee Dee was saying. When I'm out in the marketplace meaning I might be at the bank, at the store, wherever, at the movies, I'm not just busting out speaking in tongues. Now, let me throw this in there. I have been known under my breath when a situation happens and the power of God hits me and I need to pray really quickly, under my breath where nobody else hears me, and I might even put my earbuds on so they think I'm talking to somebody on the phone. But I have been known to do that. Otherwise, when you're in church, you are out of order if, for example, the pastor is speaking and you just start blurting out, and start speaking in tongues. You're out of order unless God has given you, and you would know this, it is a prophetic word that he's giving you. And so there's a difference. And you don't always have to speak in tongues first to receive a prophetic word. And I don't want to go too deep. God can give you a prophetic word and just speak to you in English and you write it down, or he just verbally gives it to you. I've often seen it in my church, though, that the tongue would come first and then the prophecy behind that tongue. So, but the Bible also says that let everything be done decently and in order. And that is also because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not going to usher in confusion. So I know there are some theories that you should not speak in tongues at church, period. That's false. That's not true. That's not what this scripture is saying. If the Holy Spirit overcomes you and you begin to speak and you know the message is just for you, you speak quietly. You don't disrupt the service. Again, you're out in the marketplace. You don't go around speaking in tongues. They're going to put you in a white jacket and put you in a cell for a minute that's going to be padded, right? So we don't do that. We don't do things out of order. Dee Dee, I hope that answered your question. If I need to elaborate a little bit more, I was trying to hit the point that...
Perfect.
Okay, great. Anybody else have a... But I love the fact about it being when we speak, it's the Holy Spirit who's our advocate that's speaking, like there's the language, this conversation that's going on between me and God, and the Holy Spirit is my advocate. He advocates for me. Anybody else have a question, comment, or you just want to say hello? Going once, going twice. All of a sudden, he came like a rushing mighty wind. Now, it doesn't always happen that way. But he made a grand announcement or a grand entrance, excuse me, in this particular occasion because this was to be monumental because he was now entering the earth forever. He was now, for as long as we're here, he was now, he's always been here, but entering the earth in a different capacity, meaning that he would dwell in the hearts of men. He would dwell within us. No longer just come upon us, but he would dwell within us. No questions. All minds are clear. All minds are, nobody have a question. Nobody wants to say. Was someone trying to speak? Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, Kevin, if you want to stay on the line, me and you can talk. Everybody else can hang up. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Before we go. It's Beverly's birthday today, too. Is Beverly on the line? Okay, well, if you hear the playback, Beverly.
No, I'm here.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday,
everybody. Thank you, thank you.
You're welcome.
Love you.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and release the call. Kevin, if you want to hang tight, if you can, no pressure, if you want to hang tight, I can give you a little bit more instruction.
and you can even ask questions to everybody else. Michelle, you can actually stop the recording, and I'm going to invite everybody else to go ahead and hang up. It's going to be me and Kevin. All right, Kevin.
So